fellow travelers, and welcome to the Traversing the Stars podcast. Joining us on this special episode is David Benjamin Tomlinson. You know him as Linus on Star Trek Discovery, now on Paramount Plus. Now come join me as we go traversing the stars. Hello, Mr. Tomlinson. Thank you so much for coming to the Traversing the Stars podcast.
Thank you for having me. You can call me David.
David? All right, most certainly we'll do that. If I fall into sir once in a while, I apologize ahead of time. It's usually my go-to.
It's all good.
But it's a pleasure to talk with you. I have talked to you once before on a different show, but it's when you were my favorite guest, and I'm so glad to talk to you again.
Thank you so much for having me. It's good to touch base with you.
Indeed. And I think one of the cool things is, especially since the last time we spoke, your character of Linus on Star Trek Discovery feels like it has been blowing up, has become increasingly popular. And I really think that fans of Discovery love Linus. Have you started noticing like an increased trend of just love coming your way for your character?
I think so. You know, I was able to go to Vegas last August for the convention there, which was my first time going to a convention in person and being able to intersect with the community at large. And that's the first time that I was like, I'm starting to see, like, there was so much enthusiasm and so many people said so many kind things and supportive things, and I guess that's when I started to put the pieces together. Like, people seem to really love the character, and I'm very grateful for that and humbled by it, and I love playing him. So
is that convention when you first noticed just how much your character was being embraced by the Star Trek community?
What was so fascinating to me about the convention was not only was the character being really well received, but I had so many people come up to the booth and say, you know, welcome to the family, to welcoming me. And it was, at a time in the pandemic experience where everything was feeling so divided, like, it was this really beautiful, like, oh right, I have been invited and welcomed into this larger family as an actor and a human being as well as my character. So people seem to love the character, people seem to identify with the character. I mean, I'd certainly identify with the character a great deal, but he resonates with people for a myriad of reasons. You know, everyone's got their favorite Linus moment.
You know, and I think I really like the idea that when you said someone, they're saying welcome to the family, because I think the idea of family is such an important word to use. And Star Trek is such a huge family. I mean, that's almost like a country worth of family right there in the Star Trek world. Is it ever overwhelming for you to now be part of something at that huge level? And are you noticing that people notice you beyond the character and you as the individual actor and individual, you know?
Mm-hmm. I think I'm getting an idea of the size and the scope of the family. I don't necessarily feel overwhelmed by it. I'm excited. It's such a close-knit community of creative thinkers and like, just looking at all of the imagination and the cosplay and the ideas and the communities that have formed in this community, it's like, I find it very inspiring. So I feel like at this point it's the tip of the iceberg. I've kind of put my toe in the water and I'm like, wow, this swimming pool is the perfect temperature.
Are you also beginning to feel that people are noticing you individually as versus you as, you know, just a character?
You know what? I think no. I think some people have an idea of what I look like in person, but I think largely it's a very, if someone sees me, they're not going to necessarily know that I play Linus. But if in that conversation, somebody is just like, what do you do? And I'm like, I work on a TV show. And I'm like, which one? And I'm like, oh, it's called Star Trek Discovery. They're like, oh, I love that show. I haven't seen you. And I play Linus. And I'm like, Linus. And then they make the connection. So people aren't recognizing my face, which I kind of like. It provides me with a kind of anonymity in my real sort of like day-to-day life that is valuable and important to me.
You know, it must be kind of interesting that there's you and there's Doug Jones, who both are the heavily made up characters on Star Trek Discovery. And hopefully they get on more aliens too on the show too that are heavily made up, which would be pretty cool. So is it like, when there's actually the set happening, that you and Doug Jones can go off the set, go, you know, eat someplace in private and not be bothered because, you know, you're out of makeup. While everyone else, you know, is stuck. They're like, do you guys have, like, a nice little bond as the two heavily made-up actors?
Yeah. Doug and I mean, just as people, we just get along really, really, like, we're two peas in a pod. So when we first met, we just kind of instantly clicked. So we have a real person-to-person rapport, a really beautiful bond that's like, has just sort of, he's been such an amazing friend and mentor and ally on set. And I've learned so much from spending time with him, but I've also learned there's a profundity to sharing space with someone who's in a similar circumstance. So mm-hmm. when we're all in the green room together, the cast and Doug and I are there, like we're the only two people who know exactly sort of what the other person is feeling and experiencing because no one else is in the prosthetic. Mm-hmm. So we're in the full prosthetic and we sort of hold space for each other. Like sometimes we'll just, we'll notice if the other person's energy dips and then it's a squeeze, like a little hand squeeze or a hug or a something to keep, you know, like reminding that we're in this together. And in that holding of space together, we have our little secrets and our little games that keep us amused. And it's not about excluding other people. It's just like, it's sharing that space that we both inhabit and knowing that we're both there for each other inside this prosthetic space makes the day easier when you know that someone is holding a space with you.
You know, there should be a rule that all the other actors need to have at least one scene in prosthetics just so they can identify properly with you guys. Be like, you know, from now on, you must be in makeup for at least one episode in complete prosthetics as a character.
The other actors are generally, they're amazingly compassionate, empathetic people. So they get it, even though they haven't worn a full prosthetic. But I think you can... I think that you can appreciate someone's situation, but it's slightly different than actually being in a situation with a person. Mm. But yes, I think the rule that if like a director is going to direct prosthetics performers, then they should be in a prosthetic for a day to experience what that is, to sort of understand, okay, this is sort of the internal conversation that the prosthetic actors are having.
Now you, and once again, Doug Jones, once again, you guys are in the same situation. Is there a common thread on how you both handle the full day of being in that situation? Is there a way that, I mean, is it just your personality is just calmer, more relaxed? Is there something else about or a trick that you both have that seems like it, maybe how prosthetics is, just makes it, you know, survive through the day because of it?
I think we both have similar systems. For me, what's important is to marshal my energy. So if I'm not on set in between takes, I generally go to the sort of the cast area where we're sat off to the side, and I'm just very quiet. I get very focused and very meditative and very zen and conserve my energy and, you know, focus. And that way I'm ready to go when we go back to set. You have to sort of stay on top of like what your fluids, you know, so like there's a rhythm to when you're drinking and what you're drinking to sort of keep your energy up. I sort of nap as often as I can. So at lunch, I'll go have my smoothie in my trailer and then I'll use the rest of the time to have a nap, which is a great recharge. So I think he and I both have similar systems of coping and dealing with the day, because I feel a lot of people romanticize prosthetics work. Oh, like, and they're like, oh, it'd be so cool to do, and it would be so fun. And yes, all of that is true. But there is another challenging piece that I don't think it's talked about, which is just the mental focus and the ongoing discomfort and getting on the other side of that. And you're going to have a very different experience being on set in a full prosthetic. It's not a bad thing. It's a challenging thing. And that's okay. I really love it, but not everyone is cut out for it.
Now, having been in prosthetics as once again as Linus for on and off for I guess 4 seasons now, is there any point that you start getting or your body gets used to the feeling of being underneath that for a while? Is it something that you adapt to, or are you still whatever made you or discomforts that were at the beginning so it triggers every time you start the process of putting the new prosthetic on again, you know, the next day.
I'm pretty, at this point, I'm pretty used to the feel of it. I have the comfort in the prosthetic. I'm used to how it feels. I can work a full day, but you know, around, you know, if we're working a really long day and I've been on in the prosthetic for 12 or 13 hours, just, I don't, you know, I think at that point, I'm just like, I really am interested in getting it off. It's been a long day. I have a point where I'm like, and now it just becomes a little bit of extra work to kind of stay focused and in, because after 13 hours in it, you just want out of it, and that's okay. And so there's mechanisms that you have that you develop to be like, oh, it's the last bit of the day. I just want to super focus and deal with it. But I'm largely, at this point, I'm largely used to, you know, I know what it is to go in and I know how it's going to be applied, and all of that is very comfortable for me. And then it's a marathon.
So correct me if I'm wrong on this, and I'm mm-hmm. won't be the first time I'm wrong, so I'll be wrong again.
Okay.
Unlike with Saru, well, he does have the prosthetics. I believe it's his eyes that you see. It's his mouth and all that you're moving. With Linus, mm-hmm. the eyes are they digital or animatronic, you know, and how they're working. Does that create an extra layer of difficulty in either performing and also wearing?
Oh, his, he has, what I'm wearing is two large, sort of like how they look when they're open. They're sort of like two large purple eyes. Okay. The eye blinks and the movements are added digitally later. It's one of my favorite things about being Linus, is that sort of is I give my performance on set. And then when I see it, when it goes to air, like the digital artists have added little eye blinks in. And so that's like this other little nuance of performance that they're layering onto my performance. And so it becomes like this sort of artistic collision of all of these different people, which I really enjoy. And it's always a nice surprise to see the timing of the blinks and when they put them in, and they add a delicious bit of character that I enjoy. Yeah.
Is that obstruction of vision then, because once again it's over your eyes, and how that works? Or
it's like looking through dark purple sunglasses. So I'm the coolest guy in the room. So I'm wearing dark purple sunglasses, but you cannot see my actual eyes. So I think a lot of people find it challenging to sort of, once the eyes are in, to sort of have any kind of a deep conversation with me, because you're just sort of looking in these big giant glassy orbs. But for my experiences, I'm looking through dark purple sunglasses, and over the course of the day, they can start to get foggy on the inside. So then it becomes, I'm looking at dark purple shapes and I'm not seeing a lot of detail because there's a layer of fog or moisture on the inside. And then when it gets bad, we wipe them out. But it's not always crystal clear.
I mean, it must be difficult to perform because everything has this weird sheen of, you know, with fog, and this whole set must look purple. You've never seen the set not look purple, apparently, with the glasses. I mean, how difficult is that to do your scene and get in the, you know, the mood of your character, seeing everything only in purple, but now maybe not be able to even see the space that you're in properly because of the fog's building up?
Well, I know where everyone is. And so if I have to turn to someone, if I have to turn to Saniqua, then I know where she is in the room, and I can sort of see her silhouette. So I'm like, I'm looking in the right direction. It's sort of something you have to quickly get on the other side of. If you stop and get worried about, oh, I can't see, I'm not able to see correctly, then you're kind of getting caught up in that energy and maybe not finding your performance. So you have to quickly get on the other side and be like, yeah, I can't see, but on the other side of that, I can make it work and I can bring this to life. And sometimes I felt, you know, maybe Linus sees the world in sort of a purple spectrum or a purple hue. It's part of his vision. So there's something about that that I've kind of like used for the character. Like, he sees things in kind of a purpley way.
I mean, maybe because he is your character, I guess, in many ways. And since no one really has done a deep biological review of Linus, if you say that he sees the world in purple, does that just make it so that he sees the world in purple? I mean,
It's canon. I'm not saying it's canon, but it has the potential to be. Like, this is the interesting thing about Linus, and is that I feel like there's a responsibility to contributing to canon in a way that's informed, which is why I'm really cautious about saying, yeah, Linus definitely sees everything in purple. I mean, it's you know, the Linus discussion is ongoing, and the Linus evolution is ongoing, and I want to make sure that I'm contributing to the best of my ability. So I cannot confirm or deny he sees the world in purple. That's just how I
suddenly Paramount Plus pops on my screen. He does not see the world in purple. that is also, because, like I said, I mean, for all intents and purposes, you are the voice of Linus. You are the representative of Linus. So, in my opinion, if you say that he sees the world in purple, from now on in my life, when I watch that show, I'm thinking that he's seeing the world in purple.
fair enough. There are, in the course of the prosthetic stay, there are all these little tools that you can take to make it work for yourself, and so that's his, that vision can be frustrating, the prosthetic can be frustrating, but again, you have to get on the other side of it and find the performance and find the play. If, like, I found in prosthetic, you can't get stuck on the discomfort.
So what do you think is about Linus that has been for, or at least the reason why he's been so embraced by the Star Trek community?
I don't know. I've heard so many people, have mentioned different things about Linus that they like. I think that some people really identify with him. When he went in the transporter, when he couldn't figure out the personal transporter, that seems to resonate with a lot of people. And what I like so much about that storyline is that they sort of were like, it's always nice to see our science fiction heroes be easy adopters to technology. And in a world where technology changes so quickly, we all want to feel like we're on the ball whenever there's a new update or a new app or what's the latest thing. And I loved that Linus didn't get it right away, because it spoke to the people who are not easy adapters to new tech. And I'm one of them. Like, as soon as there's a new update, I'm like, oh no, I just figured the old one out. So, I think a lot of people identify with, like, yeah, he didn't get it right away. And I love that the writer, let him have representation of that. So I think people identify him that way, that he's a bit awkward. I had a beautiful post on Twitter the other day. A woman wrote and said that Linus was their family favorite, and that she is an autistic son. Aww. And anytime that Linus comes on screen, he screams Linus, and it's his favorite character. And so I found that very moving as well. I think so. There's something about the character that people really resonate with, the comedy, the awkwardness. He also, he's a loyal, dedicated professional. So he's a lot of different things. And people, he's adorable. He's so handsome. That prosthetic is one of the most beautiful things ever. The first time I saw it, I gasped. It was such beautiful work. So, yeah, I don't know what it is. And I don't know that I need to know what it is at this point. I just have to continue to do my job and then let people find in him the thing that they're delighting in, which is wonderful.
You know, I think one thing I love about Star Trek Discovery, it's been, at least I've said most of the times on my show, I credit it with getting me back into Star Trek Discovery, because I think it's just a beautifully done show. And I think one thing that I love about the show is that, unlike some earlier versions of Star Trek, of the franchise without naming any, it's the most human version of it. You know what I'm saying? These characters, yeah, I feel like they're more flawed. They are more open to being being emotional characters. They're more, unique. I mean, some other franchises, their characters always seem to be somewhat some level of perfect. You know what I'm saying? I mean, they may be different, but they all have a level of perfect. Discovery all seems to be people with some definite flaws you can point to and go, that makes that character different and unique. And I do like the thing that there's an awkwardness to Linus that does fit into that kind of mold of, he's not this perfect, you know, I am Linus, I am the best Starfleet officer, you know, blah, you know, and Discovery. He's this weird, awkward guy.
Yeah, but he's also like, it's not a bad thing that he's awkward. Like he knows that he's a bit awkward, but he just gets on with it. And right. And I think that's also something I've learned from the character is you may not fit in readily or understand that you don't fit in the way that other people do. But then in holding that space, you do fit in. Mm. And I love the emotionality of the storytelling of Discovery. I think the writers do an incredible job of we're seeing such range of emotion from the characters, and there's an emotional aspect to this journey, especially with this crew who've made this giant jump into the future, and then the ramifications of it, and finding their feet again. It's exciting storytelling.
I really think so. I think going into, what was it, the 32nd century, I think is the one that they're in right now, is a genius move on their part. I mean, it really makes this show stand out. And I think it brings back the wonder of being, you know, because you're out of this known universe into this something totally different, unexpected, everything's new. And I think you do like that they're also your audience surrogate of experiencing this new, unheard of future that Star Trek never hit on before.
And the audience has... like a real, there's such an array of different characters the audience can champion as to be like their, like, you know, audiences like to find a representative in the world of the TV show. And so for some people, it's Tilly, or some people it's Stamets, or some people it's Adira. Some people it's Linus. Like, you know, like there are so many different kinds of people in the crew that everyone can find someone that reminds them of them.
You know, Season 4, which was a wonderful done season, especially towards the end of Season 4, feels like Linus made a major significant jump on the show. He's now seems like a firm fixture in the bridge crew. And that's a big deal in the world of Star Trek, getting onto the bridge crew. So as someone who is the character, knows maybe some idea of the future of the character, should we be reading in as fans the fact that this move occurred?
Well, I mean, narratively, we have to remember what happened was that Tilly went off ship, and so Linus was brought in to cover for Tilly. So I don't know yet where season 5 goes, if Tilly's going to come back to the science desk, or if Linus is going to continue to be on the bridge. I haven't had those discussions, so I don't know. But it was an amazingly exciting opportunity for both me and the character to be able to be on the bridge when everything was going sideways and all the explosions and the drama and the excitement, and be a part of that and get to have all those great lines, you know, Captain, blah, 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 blah. Like, it was very exciting to have those moments. That was super exciting. And I would love for him to remain on the bridge and be part of that crew. I certainly, I love all those people, and I like being there with them very much. So. I mean, I don't know, though. I have no idea.
I mean, to me, it felt like graduation day for Linus. I mean, you know
what I'm saying? That's a, you know what? That is a beautiful way to put it. I think it was very much a graduation day. We got to see him we got to see the professional side of him, which I really love. We got to see him at work and functioning as part of the crew, which we hadn't yet. So, yes, I think graduation day is a great way to put it. I have no idea what the future holds. Those discussions, I think, are going to be happening in the next little while, but I have no idea. Every season this show surprises me where it goes. It's astonishing. I've given up trying to anticipate. It's just like, what is happening now? Oh my goodness, this is huge.
Well, see, the cool thing about Linus is that other than Saru, he, as far as my memory goes, he's really the only alien on the main crew, because I mean, you have Saru's definitely an alien. There is a the Trill, but beyond that, I think he's the only non human character. I think that's part of the main. And I think, and the writers are listening. You can't just have Saru. You got to have Linus to balance that off a little bit.
I mean, the thing that I'm really hoping for is a Saru-Linus scene or some sort of interaction between them, because I get asked about that all the time. And anytime that there's a picture of Doug and on set chatting and prosthetic, everyone's just like, is this from the show? And it's like, no, this is just between takes. So I think I would love a scene between Linus and Saru. Linus is the only other recurring full prosthetic character outside of Doug. And it, you know, the fan piece is really important if fans are vocal about their affection for Linus and wanting to see more Linus. The writers do listen. So if people want to see more Linus, be vocal about more Linus and let them know, and, you know, we'll see what happens.
Yeah. And, you know, tip for the writers, one alien who's totally different than all the other characters meets another alien prosthetic, you know, totally looks different than all the other characters. They may have things to say to each other. That might be an important moment.
We may. Well, Doug and I get along so well. It would be a ridiculous amount of fun to have a scene with us, like playing chess or walking and talking or whatever. It would be, I think we would both very much enjoy it. So we'll see. Again, the show always surprises me. I haven't seen any scripts for the next season. So obviously I don't know where we're headed, but the show is always surprising, which is one of my favorite things about being a part of it.
Now, one interesting thing about season 4 with Linus is that I don't recall that they spent that much time with the humorous side of him and focused more on the professional side. Have you noticed the same transition?
Yeah. I certainly noticed a shift in the midpoint where they started to focus on more his professionalism and being a part of the crew. It was less, he's showing up to be funny and more we're weaving him in. So again, it was part of that graduation element that you so succinctly said earlier. It felt like, yeah, we're going to show Linus as more than just the funny, like here's the professional side. And we certainly saw him at work at the end of the season, which again was very exciting to play. And I have no idea again where what that is building to or where we're going.
Well,
and even if I did, quite frankly, I couldn't tell you. So
that's totally fine. Off air, you'll give me all the secrets. I'm just kidding. I mean, another interesting, or at least evidence that Linus is becoming increasingly popular, is because he's getting his own comic book. IDW has Star Trek Discovery Adventures in the 32nd Century, and Linus has, I believe, it's at least one issue dedicated to him.
Yeah, there's one. There's a issue about Adira, one for Detmer, one for Grudge, and one for Linus, I believe, is the four. And Linus is the fourth.
Now,
I was blown away. I was blown away when I found out. I was like, what? Now I'm just like, I have to get my hands on it. I can't wait. I cannot wait to see what these artists have done and what they do with the character. I'm super duper excited. I can't wait. It's in June. It's coming in June.
Now, when you read this, the issue, are you gonna be like, no, that's not what Linus would do? Or like, it's like the thing where you're like, oh, no, I need to incorporate this into my Linus because he said in the story. Is there any?
You know what? I'm a big fan of artists feeding artists. Like I was talking about earlier, with sort of, you know, the computer graphics, CGI people go in and augment his eyes with blinks, and they're layering on my performance. And I love that. And so I love the idea of the comic book writers and artists taking a look at Linus and then creating a story based on what they've seen, and then having this adventure, and that I'll be able to look at this adventure and then bring parts of it back to me and take that to the show. Like, I love artists feeding artists, and that way we sort of lift all, it becomes this amazing weave that we just lift up and lift each other up. So I'm just excited to see what they do. I can't freaking wait. I'm super excited. There was an episode this season. It was in the bar. It was early in the season, and this didn't make the final cut of the episode. But Culber was having a conversation with Adira in the bar, and I was on set that day, and so the director had me sit at the piano and play the piano in the background. And I thought this was such an amazing choice. I was so stoked. And so even though we really didn't see it on camera, like it didn't make it to the cut of the show, but in my mind, Linus is a piano player as well. Like it's just this great character. And it came from that director's suggestion. And so that I love that yes anding. Like I'm like, so in my mind, yeah, like Linus, when he's not on the bridge or in the science lab, he's down in the bar playing the piano, some Smokey Blues, you know, like I just love that. And I know that there will be elements from the comic that I'll be able to bring back. And yeah, I love it. Very exciting. It's like unfolding.
Now, between you and me, because obviously no one, you know, hears this.
Yes, of course.
So does it drive you crazy to spend all that time in prosthetics in a scene that doesn't make the cut?
Oh, I think it's the nature of the beast. I think, you know, like you have to show up on set and you do your work. And then there are a bunch of decisions being made that you're not a part of, between editors and directors and producers, and there is a discussion and a level of discussion that as an actor I'm not privy to. So it's not personal. It's like, this is where everyone agreed the camera needed to look, and this is what they wanted to show. So the best thing that I can do as an actor is show up on set and do my job, and if they choose to keep an eye on me, great. If not, then that's where they wanted the camera to go. So I think it's part of the prosthetics gig that you're going to get into, go through the process and not end up on screen a whole lot, or just like be sort of distant or like off to the side. I think that's just part of the beast. You can't get mad at it. It's, you know,
now
you just show up and yeah.
No. Did you know how to play the piano prior to the scene? And
No.
How well did you fake it?
Well, here's the thing.
Okay.
I taught myself the piano. Like I just played it my own way when I was a kid. And I am a big fan still of Tori Amos. And I grew up listening to her music, and a lot of her music is piano driven. So when it came to playing the piano in the bar, I just simply in my mind sang a Tori Amos song and played fake piano along with myself. And that's how I pulled it off. They never were going to show my hands. It was just sort of like him at the piano. So I just, you know, just swayed and pretended I was playing a Tori Amos song. It was amazing.
Well, were you singing I Don't Like Mondays? Was that the one you went
to? No, I was singing. What Tori song was I singing in my head? It was a slower one. I believe it was, was it Welcome to England? And it was nothing upbeat like Cornflake Girl. It might have even been Silent All These Years. Or nope, it was Baker Baker.
Baker Baker.
It was the very slow, slowest Tori song that that I sort of was humming and playing. But
you know, just so you know, because you said this, from now on, canon for Linus that he likes Tori Amos. As far as I'm concerned,
I want to make it official that everything I say here is not canon. It's just part of the Tomlinson process of showing up as the character.
See, what the thing is,
yeah, it would be. I mean, go ahead.
I was gonna say, next time I meet someone, a fan of Star Trek, I'll be like, "Yeah, did you know that Linus loves Tori Amos?" No, seriously, it's a thing. It's real. And they'll just become spread around that he just likes Tori Amos. So when the writers are like, "Oh shit, we gotta put this in now," it's been canon apparently for a year or two.
Goodness, you're dangerous to talk to. Yeah, I mean, you know, as an actor, you have to sort of pull in all kinds of part of your personal life or lives of your friends to sort of to find your way with the character. So it doesn't all mean that that's a part of the official character's life, but it's part of the path that you walk as an actor to find the character.
And I think one thing that I find really awesome about you, because obviously I followed you on Twitter, as everyone should who watches the show.
Oh, thank you.
No problem. And
I'm bad at Twitter. I'm trying to get better, but.
Well, what I like about it is that you're so supportive, not only of the comic book. I mean, I may be wrong, and you're once again correct me, but I could sense the pride you took as the actor behind Linus in the fact this comic book even existed. And I think that was amazing, the amount of pride you take in the character, in this comic book that is about the character, and all, and the other actors that you spend a lot of time, you know, praising and supporting. And is this real? I mean, do you feel that level of pride when you hear that Linus is a comic book or something along those lines?
Oh my gosh, yeah. I don't know if it's pride. I just, I'm so like excited and humbled, and I want to know what it is. I want to know what's in it. I have been given this ridiculous, wonderful opportunity to be this character, and I don't know where it's going, but I'm so grateful to have met the people that I'm meeting, and working with the people that I'm working, and see how it's inspiring people in their life, and other artists with this comic book. Like, it just feels like it's all worthy of celebration. You know, like, I remember, it all is a blur, but I guess the season three aired in 2020, right? Yeah, season three aired in 2020. I had so many messages from people who were just, you know, the teleporter sequence brought a smile to their face in a really, really hard time, because those times were, you know, very challenging. And I just was so grateful for that opportunity to brighten someone's day. And the show means a lot to so many people, and all of the people that I work with are worthy of celebrating. And this character I love so much. So I guess it is proud. I'm proud to be a part of this character and to be the heartbeat of this character, and inspired by all of the other artists who are contributing to this character. It's all very exciting to me.
Now, are you at all tempted now to write your own comic book with Linus as the main character, like a miniseries? You know,
tempted. Am I tempted? Yeah, you know, that's a good thing, because I also write, right? Like,
right.
I'm gonna think on that. You never know. I want to read this first the IDW comic, because it's very possible that they will say everything that needs to be said, and you know, so we'll see. When it comes to this journey I'm on with the character, I really want to stay present and continue to like show up for the unfolding of how it's developing. Ultimately, I just sort of want to enjoy this piece, because I'm learning so much, and there's these graduation moments that are happening. So I just want to, you know, stay centered and just stay present for it.
Well, you heard him, IDW. He's going to do a comic book. Make that deal happen. I know they do watch the show, so I'm telling you right now.
Oh, amazing. Amazing. I'm very excited. I'm hoping that I can. I have to figure out how I'm going to get it, because I don't know where to get them in Canada, but I'm going to work that out. That's my problem. I will figure it out.
Well, if you need help getting in touch with someone from IDW, I will help you out.
I will. Okay, perfect.
So once again, season four has completed. Mm-hmm. Season five is on its way. Do we know when it's beginning to shoot? And do you have any information on, do they give you a heads up, like be available in, I don't know, some month that you maybe can blurt out?
I can say nothing about season five.
Oh no. I mean, if you know sign language, this is we're watching a video version, so you know sign language, go right ahead.
I honestly don't know much about season five at all. I sort of have read what's in the trades, and I it's not something I can talk about anyway, so
sure. Oh, I totally understand. Anyway,
you know, like I know what kind of a ship I'm on, and I respect the ship.
That's an incredibly intelligent answer.
Thank you very much.
So for our listeners, what else are you working on that they can anticipate and get excited about?
Oh, you know what? Well, as I mentioned, I also write. Mm-hmm. So I've been writing a lot through the pandemic experience, and I'm going to at some point get back out on stage and do some solo work, some comedic storytelling. I don't know what that looks like yet. It seems pretty early to start figuring out how theater is going to work. We're sort of in the midst of another wave here in Toronto at this point in time. So I think down the road a piece, there will be some live performance talking about funny things. And, you know, like I'm constantly kind of writing show ideas and show pitches and screenplays and seeing if I can rally support for them. So hopefully down the road, a little piece, there'll be more and more for people to watch and engage in, and we'll see where Linus goes. Yeah, but it's still very uncertain how everything is in the bigger picture in terms of the arts and what will be available and accessible to people in the months to come. So it's hard as an artist. I feel for artists right now who are trying to figure out how best to move forward. I don't think the way is completely clear yet. So it's hard to say how it's going to happen or when it's going to happen, but I do know that we need to work together to make it happen. So, soon I'll be reaching out to other artists and seeing what we can pull together.
Well, Mr. Thompson, when that's all, you can talk about all this stuff, please come right back on again. You're always a pleasure to talk about. And the door is always open for you.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I appreciate that. It's always a pleasure to speak with you.
Thank you so much, Mr. Thompson. So have a fantastic night. I'll let you know when this goes live.
Amazing. You have a great night. We're done. That's it.